against the sinful nations of the earth. And the next chapter, chapter 35 and verse 4, we see him offering his hope of restoration to Israel. And he says this, he says, "Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come." I'm wondering if Jesus would have died yesterday, and we know he's coming back today, how would we live? It's a good question to ponder. Let's sing.
Father, eternal ruler of creation. Good morning and a greeting to each one in the precious name of Christ. Would we really love him? I trust that is our heart's desire, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have you ever found yourself being busy doing a lot of things and becoming frustrated in trying to meet all the needs around you? I'd like to look at an example this morning in Scripture, Luke chapter 10. And I'd like to look at when we give of ourselves. How do we give? Can we give without having received first of all? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In verse 40, where it talks about Martha was cumbered about much serving, in Strong's Concordance, this cumbered has to do with to drag all around or to distract. Have you felt like things have dragged you around trying to meet the things that are calling for attention? And in verse 41, Jesus is saying, you are careful and troubled about many things. The NIV says you're worried and upset about many things. Do we find ourselves in those positions or those situations where we're frustrated? We're trying to do everything to meet the needs of people or to minister somehow, and we just don't reach around. I think Christ calls us, in this portion, he's reminding us that there's something that takes priority over the serving, and that is to sit and to receive. We need to receive before we can give. And Mary was in a position of receiving. In verse 39, it says, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was taking in. And in verse 42, Jesus says, it refers to what she was taking in, that it cannot be taken away from her. Now, in this portion, is Jesus saying, don't serve? No, that is not what he is saying. And notice, what is the passage just prior to this account? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And why do we consider him the good Samaritan? Is it not because he served and he met the need of the one who was in distress? And so Jesus is not saying, don't serve people. But I think he's bringing out the point that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and we need to receive before we can properly give to other people. And I trust that this morning can be an experience of us as a body receiving what the Lord has for us that enables us to better truly meet the needs of people in the coming days. And Mary was receiving something that could not be taken away. When we receive God's love, how does it work? When we share it with other people, is it taken away? No, it's when we receive God's love and as we share it, simply the capacity to retain that love grows. And the capacity to give grows. It sort of works in a cycle. The more you give, the more you can receive, and the more you can give, the more you can receive, and the cycle grows. And I think when we stop giving, we stop serving, we also start closing down on the ability to properly receive as well. And I think faith works in a similar way. If we have the grain of a mustard seed and we exercise the faith that we have, the capacity for that faith to grow is there. And as we continue to exercise and to live it out, it can grow. And so as we receive this morning from Jesus, it should enable us to better give, to better meet the needs of people. Martha, I think, was distracted by her serving that didn't allow her to properly receive what God had for her. In the story of the Good Samaritan, I'm not sure what was distracting the Levite and the priest that they couldn't properly serve. It doesn't really tell us where they were going, what their business was, but just being a Levite and priest, they would have been involved with the sacrifice, temple worship. And so maybe they had the form of receiving, possibly, but it wasn't truly receiving, and it was distracting from enabling them to properly serve people. Somewhere, the Samaritan had received something that enabled him to meet the need of the one who was by the wayside, wounded. And it doesn't give us indications of how or where he received, but evidently he had received, because we cannot truly give until we have, first of all, received. And Jesus, he voluntarily put himself into a position of needing to receive when he became man. He himself said, "Of mine own self, I can do nothing." In John 5:30, it says it, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge." And I think it's saying, as I receive from my Father, that's what I can give to you people. And so he became completely man, became fully man, and therefore he was in need of receiving in order to give. In Matthew 10, it's the sending out of the 12 disciples. In verse 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Then it goes to name the disciples. But notice, he gave them power. The disciples had to receive something before they could have anything to offer to the people. And then in verse 7 and 8, Jesus instructs them and says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." And I trust that can be our experience this morning. It's not wrong to receive. Sometimes we like to be independent. We don't like handouts. This morning, you need to receive a handout from God. We need to freely receive. And as we freely receive, freely give to other people. And so this morning, I trust that we come with hearts that are open to receive, so that you have something to give to people in these coming days. I'd like to sing a verse of that song, "God Forgave My Sin," the chorus, "Freely, freely, ye have received, freely, freely give." The verse goes, "God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to." God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name.
he told me to his every.
Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, this morning we thank you that you have freely shared, you gave of yourself. And Lord, help us to receive with open hearts what you have for us. And this morning in the service here, every aspect of it, I just pray that it would be a time of receiving, and as we receive, we also give, we contribute, and as that cycle works, just pray that our capacity to receive and to give would be increased, so that we truly have life to offer to people as we meet with them this week. Lord, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to lift up your name and help us to be faithful servants in living out the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dwight. A real excellent reminder of where all good things come from. I thought of the verse in James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Or another translation, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. You know, what we have from this fallen humanity and fallen world, if that's all we had, what a sorry people we would be. But God loved us and loves us, and he sent every good and perfect thing for us to enjoy. So certainly that should draw us to him in worship and praise and adoration this morning. Okay, we're going to Sunday school now, and we'll excuse the teachers for the basement. The preschool and primary students may go. And the juniors and intermediates, you can go. And again, if anyone from Mark Nisley's class came late, their class will be going to George Compton's for Sunday school this morning. And the lesson this morning is Galatians 3, 26 through 4, 7. Next Sunday it will be Galatians 4, 8 through 21. Let's assemble in our classes.